Today's guest is Antonio Tronic McDonald. He's the CCO and co-founder of CAMP, K-U-M-P. Now, it stands for Keep Up and Make Progress. And what's interesting about this conversation is we get to borrow from the experience of someone who came up really early in production. I'm talking early. Camcorder, Polaroid cameras. In fact, that's how his dream started. And we dive into all that, into the position he currently holds on where technology may be going, or at least where production as we know it will live in relation to the AI tools that are coming up and coming out as we speak. Also, we discuss some of the clientele that CAMP has worked with and that journey of what it was like when they first started the agency, focused only on production, to the evolution of understanding why it's more important for them to have creative control, to ultimately landing large projects with clientele like HP, Microsoft, and Google. If you've ever wanted to know what goes through the mind of the agency that you hire to help you with your branding and production for advertisements, this is the conversation for you. If you ever wanted to start your own agency, this is the conversation for you. Without further ado, Antonio McDonald, aka Tronic, of CAMP, K-U-M-P. Okay, stoked. Antonio Tronic McDonald. Man, it is a pleasure to have you here. I was doing some research. I was looking at things. And I can really appreciate what you said in some of the like stuff I found online. And I want to start it off here because I had lived in New York for a while, for about 6 years. And I remember one of the first things I signed up to was the Manhattan Neighborhood Network. Now, what I saw online was that you believe there are not enough. And you're a professional who's doing great things. You've got Google as a client for Q2, right? But you said that there aren't enough media centers in the city. Can you sort of go into why that is? Because from what I have it in my notes, you grew up with a camera and that changed your life. Is that where that comes from?
Absolutely. Phil, well, thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure to be here with you and sharing our story, a little bit of it at least. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I grew up in Canarsie, Brooklyn, as you mentioned, with a camera. Mom bought me a Polaroid, very young, still camera. And from there, graduated to a video camera. It was take christenings and birthdays and all sorts of things, make, you know, Arsenio Hall shows with friends and that sort of thing. But, you know, television film was always something that I saw as this kind of like, wow, this like amazing kind of like unachievable thing, you know what I mean, for a kid growing up in Canarsie, Brooklyn. And I always just thought you just sat back and watched television and people brought you the content, right? I never understood that you could actually help create the content and kind of create stories that you wanted to see. So it wasn't until I got to high school, I went to high school, moved out of Brooklyn, mom moved me upstate New York to a place called Warwick, New York, and had a chance to kind of get into the television and film world a little bit. And I realized at that point, I was like, wait a minute, we have these great facilities here, which is about an hour and a half north of New York City, but where I grew up in Brooklyn, there was nothing like that. I didn't see anything. Now I believe there are opportunities now more than there were back then. But, you know, at that time, it was just like pretty scarce. So I always thought like, yeah, I would love one day to be able to kind of figure out a way to bring this knowledge and this information and everything I've learned back to those communities. And we say, you know, we want to create these camp incubators from Brooklyn to Brazil globally and kind of have them set up in all these underserved communities, man, and try to serve these young kids and expose them to the media and film world early. So that way they could hopefully go on, you know, either go to college or, you know, just start creating films and start doing their thing and build a career for themselves. So, I mean, just to answer your question, it's like, I remember the Boys and Girls Club, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. But they didn't really focus on media at all, you know what I mean? And to me, what I see the camp incubators being is it's a combination of the Boys and Girls Club meets like Warner Brothers Studio, Netflix Studio, any traditional studio combined to create an outlet for kids that they can come in, you know, they can get the traditional sports and you know, extracurricular activities and mentorship that they need, as well as workshops and curriculum around media advertising. So how to produce, how to direct, how to write, how to edit, how to create your own stories. Because of course we know everything is here, right? Like they have the power. I'm sorry, you can't see, it's a little blurry, but now it's like you have the power in your hands. So like, why not give these kids the information they need in order to create great stories?
That stability on the iPhone is next level with the cinematic mode. 100% tripping out that that exists because, wow. No, growing up, even for me, you know, because if I mean, you came up like 70s, 80s, right? Like with your family. And yeah. I came up around the 90s and really didn't even get a chance to look at cameras until like 2007, you know, with the early Canon Rebel cameras. And so to know that what you have in the iPhone today is comparable to that is just a sign of the times, you know. And you mentioned camp. Now, from what I looked up online and what I understand, it stands for, it's an acronym that stands for Keep Up and Make Progress. And you're celebrating two decades. Is this accurate?
This is accurate, man. It's wild. Yeah, man. So camp, you know, it's derived from camp, a C-A-M-P, a camp of people coming together for collaborative efforts. And, you know, we kind of came up with the acronym of camp and give it a little bit of flavor, a little Caribbean flavor, camp, you know, camp it up, you know what I mean? So, yes, sir, it's derived from keep up and make progress, which means just like taking those little steps, man, grinding every day. As you know, entrepreneur life, that's what it is. It's those little steps, those you take each day that kind of propel you to those greater heights, right? Like there's no fast way, right? There's no elevator, there's no escalators. You have to take the steps. And I always try to take, I tell this to young people all the time. It's like, look, I wish I could let you know there was some silver bullet or some magic pill you could take, but trust me, I would want it myself, right? But it doesn't exist. Like you have to grind, you have to put in the work. And that's really that's the ethos behind KIMP. And that's what we stand for. It's like, doing what we got to do, rolling our sleeves up, getting it done. You know what I mean? Our clients love it. They appreciate it. As you mentioned, we work with Google. HP is one of our clients as well. The NBPA, Microsoft. So, you know, these companies are top tier. They don't accept anything less than excellence. So you have to bring your A game. And that takes countless iteration. That takes hard work, perseverance, grit, you know what I mean? All of these things I feel were instilled in me back in my Canarsie, Brooklyn days, you know, and I didn't realize I would be pulling from it, but it really kind of helped me out along the way. Also coming from an immigrant family, my family's from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, very small island in the Caribbean, right next to Barbados, which a lot of people are familiar with Rihanna. We're neighbors over there. And it's basically, you know, it's really about really putting in that work, Phil. I got to tell you, man, it served us well over the years. As you mentioned, two decades, 22 to be exact, on February 15th, which we're super proud of and just really happy to be around as the industry is taking this turn. Advertising, film, you know, as we were talking about a little bit before we, you know, started, in flux, no one knows what's going on, countless layoffs. People are, you know, taking things in-house. You know, it's just kind of becoming a really interesting sector right now, advertising, film production, and media. We feel we're very well equipped in order to handle that. We're super nimble, super agile. As I mentioned before, our clients really appreciate our, you know, just the opportunity to kind of really speak with me on calls. You know, it's not just some young junior team that comes waltzing into the office after they've kind of sold a business, you know what I mean, or kind of won the business, right? So it's something that we really kind of take seriously and don't take lightly. The fact that we get to do this every day in such a tumultuous climate, like the climate is so rough right now, man, but we seem to be doing well and thriving. So, you know, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, you brought up a lot of things. One being the commonplace issue of bringing a vendor on that provides production services only to be tossed off to the intern. And you're spending, you know, $3,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 that just keeps going and they just add more interns per K. You know, I know the feeling. I've been there myself. I've worked fractionally only to watch that happen. And it really does make a difference to be able to speak directly to the visionary that started the agency and borrow from their experience to determine whether or not what they had as a vision as your client is even the place they should be going towards. And only the most experienced can take that in, save the time, save the energy, and focus instead on the iterations, like you said, that get closer to a vision that creates landslide wins. So for just the fact that you can do that and position your company in that way and your agency is already exciting to hear. For me, you also brought up the advent of emerging technologies, right? And it is in flux right now. And you see a lot of tools purporting to be able to do the same. And it's kind of there. And I wouldn't be surprised in the next 6 months to 3 years what that's going to look like. But I do believe there's always going to be a premium with something that was made by people for people. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you've seen from the tools so far, what you like, what you think is going to be missing, even no matter how advanced the technology gets. What do you
think? Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I'm sure I couldn't agree with you more, man. I mean, I really love a human authentic touch. Again, we pride ourselves here at camp on that. You know, just being able to call someone, bounce an idea off of someone, kind of work through a problem, right? These are things that creatives thrive on, like being able to communicate and talk. You know, it's imperative for our business. And I think those are the best ideas. When you can kind of come in, sometimes it might even be a crap thought, but you throw it out there to the group, someone hears something, and they're like, oh, that kind of sucks, right? But what about this? You know what I mean? And it kind of takes on a life of its own. And I love that. And I feel with AI, you know, and all these tools, as you mentioned, that we have, it's like, you know, they're there to work in tandem with us. They're a tool, as many people have said before, like a carpenter has a hammer. I feel AI and these tools are just there to kind of further elevate our creativity. And I think that they're needed, right? Like, I mean, it's great. Like, I remember, you know, growing up without a calculator back in the day. I mean, I'm not that old, but.
it's funny you bring that up, though. I was just about to ask you, can you recall another time in your vertical where a technology came to disrupt the whole thing only to have it actually become an essential tool of today's workflow?
Yeah, I mean, oh, wow, there's countless things. I mean, I remember, like, you know, the VCR, you know what I mean? Like, how that was going to change the game as far as, like, recording content and stuff like that. And like, yeah, and it did, right? But it didn't truly catch on. I mean, you had things like, like Betamax and these things, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like these things that were like supposed to change the game, Blu-ray, that's what I was trying to think of. You know what I mean? It's like these things are supposed to come in and change the game, and they came and went, you know? Now, I do believe that AI will be around. I do believe those tools, I mean, we've all have seen Sora at this point, right? You know, yeah. That's kind of scary, you know what I mean? Because it is very humanistic and realistic, you know? So that's something that's, I'm sure, 3 years down the line, maybe 3 months down the line, is going to get a lot better. And like I said, it's great. It works in tandem with what we do, but I don't think it will replace us. So, Blu-ray was probably an example of something that's kind of like was supposed to be the next big thing and then just didn't really make it and fizzled out. And we got back to, again, things that were real and tangible. And I do believe advertising, film production, you're telling emotive stories and people connect with that. Like, it's not just about the pretty pictures. It's not just about the imagery, although it's very important. I love visuals. I love beauty myself. However, you need nuances. You need certain, you know, storytelling approaches as well as intent behind some of those stories that I just think AI is not there on yet, but who knows what the future holds, right?
Yeah. No, Sora is definitely one of those technologies that when it came out, I even heard the news that Tyler Perry decided to retract his $800 million investment in his studio. And moves like that, you can't really ignore. But we also can't read too much into it. Like, it's not going somewhere else to set the standard for the future as well, right? Yeah. And that's where people get caught up in the emerging technology hype is they're always extreme online. And I don't understand how it's only the subject matter experts that are watching that and going, that is exciting and scary, but also let's keep watching. It's such a weird position to hold, but only expertise can do that. And so I love that that's your position on it. I actually wanted to ask you earlier, if you don't mind me asking, 20 years ago, when you started camp, your vision and how you thought you would achieve it, how much has it changed now that you can say you're here 20 years in and things are going the way they're going You've got the clientele that you have as your backdrop for success. How did your vision change?
Yeah, great question. And I'll just add to something you said. I mean, so Tyler Perry made that announcement, and then Netflix came out the next day and made the announcement that they're actually going forward with their $900 million studio. So ebbs and flows, right? Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I feel like, man, like when we started out, man, we just wanted to be like, we were a bunch of young kids at MTV at the time. I started out there. We're all working together, young people of color. We kind of banded together, and from the news department, the on-air promos department, the production department, we all were just like, hey, let's form something. There's a need in the marketplace. People aren't getting our stories right. So we all came together, formed Kemp, and we were just like, we want to be the best production company out. Like, we want to offer stories, and we want to have an approach that no one else has. And over the years, it just kind of morphed into, well, let me take a step back. In the promos department within MTV, which is kind of like was at least globally and world renowned, like a lot of great and amazing directors have come out of there that are still working. And the actual model of it, which I think is now kind of taken off, was basically you come up with an idea, you ideate, you execute and produce that idea, you do the post-production on that idea, and then you even help with some of the amplification. So we've kind of borrowed that model and taken it over to Kemp. But that's the model now that the big agencies are doing, big brands are doing right now. They're all trying to do everything in-house. So when we initially started, we were like, we just wanted to be a great production company. But then we quickly realized like, okay, even if we produce this work, it's like, we still are not creating we don't have the ideation behind it. We're not developing the content. So we're making stuff that's like, not that awesome, not that great at times, not all the time. So we felt like, no, we need to actually have more control for this company with the ideation, you know, which I had the privilege of doing within the promos department at MTV, but we weren't really getting those gigs at Kemp per se, you know? And part of those years was moonlighting at MTV, by the way, also. So we worked on Through the Wire for Kanye West, which was his very first music video.
Wow.
Did Kanye, you know what I mean? Yeah, worked on that at nights at MTV, which was wild, like kind of helped 50 Cent launch at MTV and kind of bring him into the world at MTV. Bunch of others, Rihanna, like remember the first time she came up to MTV and TRL. So, which again, dating myself at TRL, but you know, these are people now who are staples, worked with LeBron James very early on, you know, so that department was really awesome, man. And we got a chance to really kind of get our hands into everything, basically. Like I said, ideation, production, post-production, amplification. And, you know, in Europe, they do that. The director comes on, you know, shoots the project and then also helps on the post. But that's pretty much the extent. It's not really done in the US at all. If you come on and you direct commercial board, you work with an agency, you come on set a couple of days, you direct your stuff, you turn everything over and you're gone. You know what I mean? They don't see you again. So the model, I think, really that I was privy to at MTV and on a promos department specifically, really kind of opened our eyes to saying, okay, this can be more than a production company, but we just wanted to take, again, small steps, right? So we started out as a production company, but we quickly realized like the goal and the win is ideation, production, post-production amplification. And that's really, I think, would be the biggest surprise, pleasant surprise for me. You know what I mean? Like, I really never thought that we would actually be able to be an agency and kind of get work from major brands. Like, I didn't even kind of see that far out. It was just really about working with a great agency, great boards, and being able to, you know, work as a production company. So I'm pleasantly surprised 22 years later to be able to have the full ecosystem at my fingertips and the company's fingertips and be able to really leave our true stamp on what we feel, you know, is the right approach to kind of really moving units and put masses in seats, as they say.
Yeah, the right asses in the right seats. No, man, yeah. It's so crazy to hear the things that were happening as you were coming up and where you came up through because of how it positions you to view the way technology is moving today and the way celebrities and entertainers in that capacity have fought against technology just to ensure that they still get their pay. Because often when technologies advance, while it's better for consumers, it rarely is better for those who are making the art. And so it's interesting to hear your own journey. You started off, I just want to make dope stuff. Let me get involved in the production aspect. You know, some of these projects aren't even worth the money because it's a lot of work for nothing interesting at all. Let me get some more creative control. You start getting creative control all while learning the model of the vertical and you start to shape out into this company that starts to work with the most impactful artists of our industry today in entertainment. And then to hear that you have an upcoming project, and by the way, side note, I always wanted to be one of those VJs from TRL. And it's, you know, it's too late now, but that was always my thing. Just throwing that dream out there.
It might be the new iteration of it. You know what I mean? I mean, TikTok now, and you're doing it right now. Come full circle, my man. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. And to see you now moving forward, and you've got this project that was sort of hinted at earlier in our conversation with Google. Can you tell me more about that? What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so definitely can share a little bit. We've been working with Google now, specifically Google Fiber, which is the fiber optics arm of Google. They treat themselves as a startup, which we love. Amazing team, wow. Amazing creatives, amazing producers, strategic folks. They get it. They understand their brand. So collaboration with them is truly enjoyable, man, in the sense that, and I'm not just saying that, you know what I mean? They truly, you know, are a pleasure to work with because they know their brand in and out, as I said, and they empower us and trust us to do what we do and bring what we do to the table, which is creative development, production execution, post-production as well. So we come on very early working with them. You know, when they have their strategy together, they usually lead the charge on that, which is helpful to us because it's like, hey, we don't have to go and do the digging and the research and the data. Obviously, Google is probably one of the best in the world when it comes to data, right, and insights. So we tap into that. They give us a kind of, you know, a few kernels of nuggets. We shape those kernels and we mold those and develop them. And then we, you know, get working storyboards that we create through camp. And then we go out and we produce it and we execute it. So we've done that now for the past 2.5 years now. We've been working with them, starting out small, working on small projects. And I worked our way up to even doing like to doing the major brand campaigns. We did one in 23. We're currently working on the 2024 version right now, which is awesome, man. It's like film, video. We do a bunch of clips. We do a bunch of videos that kind of just showcase UK use cases from clients or potential users. And it really is a great snapshot on, you know, where we are as far as like creatively as an industry, because we do things super fast. Like our model is, you know, you have no time, a challenge budget, but you still need a high level of production value. That's really what this relationship is all about, this partnership with Google Fiber. They don't have a ton of time. Like I said, they're a startup within Google, you know what I mean? But they still need excellence. And, you know, being able to work with them, I think, has really kind of opened our eyes up to the possibilities because, you know, they're really allowing us to really run with it, grab the bull by the horns and do our thing when it comes to creative and what we bring to the table, as well as production excellence. I think that their model now, or the model that they allow us to kind of help them with, is basically should be the future. I really do believe that because it's like, look, you come on, you bring on creative folks, you want them to create, right? And they truly, go figure, right? They truly empower us to do that. And I love it. And I think they're a great bunch. And I think they're all going to do very well individually and as a business as a whole, because they're actually doing really, really well right now. And their business is growing exponentially. There are new markets every day. So this new iteration, basically, that we're creating, I think will also bring some more volume in and move some more units for them, too. But I can't share too much of what it is we're doing specifically, but it is a lifestyle. It's a series of lifestyle film spots that we're creating with them that, you know, I think the world will be kind of really happy to receive it and hopefully sign up and subscribe for some more internet fiber optics.
I love it. And I'm super happy for all that Camp has been able to accomplish. And yet still sounds like you just feel like you're just getting started, which is exciting to hear that energy in you. You know, some people, especially in production, can get burnt out. And I want to get your reaction on the statement. And I'm probably going to mess it up, but I remember reading somewhere online, someone saying something to the effect of, it's just as hard to do the hardest business you could think of, whatever it is, like land on the moon or what have you, as it is to sell ice cream or what have you in terms of operations, right? And now holding that thought, I'd love to know what surprised you most about going from working with whoever you could get on as a project to working with major brands. What surprised you the most about that while also holding that sentiment I mentioned earlier?
Yeah, No, that's that sentiment is it, actually. That is clearly what it is. It's basically, I'm most surprised by the fact that working with a company like a Google Fiber or an HP, who we also work with, won awards with, very blessed and thankful too. They also gave us an opportunity very early on. And just being able to, the amount of work that goes into working with them is actually probably, it's a lot less stressful at times, you know what I mean? And it's a lot less heavy lifting than it was kind of trying to get the local mom and pop opportunity, right? To kind of give us a chance and like beating down those doors. I'll share a quick story. Like I reached out to the CMO of HP about maybe 100 times, you know what I mean, before I got a response. And as you know, as entrepreneurs, you have to just keep going, right? I tell people all the time, you have to just keep going. And finally, you know, he ends up leaving the company and going somewhere else. But the gentleman who stepped in after him basically, you know, reached out to him a bunch of times as well. And then he also didn't respond, you know, right away, but then he finally did. And then we got it. And then they gave us an opportunity. And from there, it kind of really, you know, took on a life of its own. And we do amazing work with them. We went out to Cannes with them. We were at the Palais speaking on a panel out there with HP. So they're also another great partner of ours. But I say all that to say, you know, taking that time to reach out to the CMO and the amount of effort that I put in was no different than the time I put in, you know, trying to get to, you know, the middle person or the person, you know, below the middle level who I thought was the decision maker, right? Like I probably invested more time doing that than I did trying to get to the CMO. And I found in my career that a lot of times the people that are higher up on the level, if you get them at the right time, they're usually a lot more responsive and obviously they're key decision makers, so they can completely put you in the right direction to talk to the right people, right, on their team. So once you do get through to them, things move usually expedite, you know? So I think that, yeah, man, it's such a true statement, what you said. It's basically like you invest a bunch of time in doing things, you know, for lack of a better term, at a smaller level, you know, then versus at a higher level, you know? So I always say kind of shoot for the top and really try to go for the person who you feel, you know, is your best way in, you know, but that's just me.
I love it. I'm glad that you stepped into that and leaned in, because I know even just starting out, I remember trying to intern like at a radio station. And I had read somewhere that you had that same experience where you tried to set up an internship, nobody got back to you, you know, and it's that constant, you know. And then I was like, all right, let me go directly to the owner of a magazine then and see what that looks like. And at some point I ended up on Entrepreneur just by hitting somebody up on Twitter. And then, you know, things changed with the pandemic and here I am now. But I love to be able to have someone who has a decorated career like yours and only feeling like they're just getting started even now after two decades, to then go and say, look, it's going to be hard no matter what you do. You might as well go for the best, work with the best. And for me, I can't imagine a better way to start to bring this conversation to a close. I want to roll out the red carpet for you, man. Tell us and the listeners, all of them, what you want them to know about what you're working on right now or where you want them to connect with you if they're interested in working with you, anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you for the time, Phil, man. This has been a great conversation, man. And if any of the viewers want to reach out, we're at Kemp Inc. On Instagram, on Facebook as well, kemp.com, K-U-A-M-P.com, you know, as a website. LinkedIn, we're big on LinkedIn, Kemp Inc. at LinkedIn. And then Antonio Tronic McDonald, I'm on LinkedIn as well. Love LinkedIn as a tool. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, man, I always say, just keep going, like keep grinding. This is a tough, tough business sector, advertising media, but just in general, life is hard, man. I was reflecting with a friend today. We're in some serious times and it's just hard. You know what I mean? For everything, everything is tough. You know, nothing's easy anymore. However, I do find that that brings out the best in everyone, right? When you have that adversity, it's really about searching yourself, digging deep, you know, whether it be your faith, your higher power, whatever it is, whatever you connect with, using that to really, again, propel you to that next height. But it's really just about rolling your sleeves up, getting your game face on, man, and just really kind of like grinding it out. There's really no other way. And it's really, and I know people are like, oh, come on, dude. Like, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's really it, you know what I mean? And as you said, it's like, I feel like we're just getting started and I still practice this every day. I still get rejected, you know, like we're out here with award-winning work and doing great things and people are still like, you know what I mean? But it's okay, because those aren't the people that we should be working with. The people that do recognize us and see what we bring to the table, those are the ones we're supposed to be working with and haven't had a bad, you know, case study yet, basically working with a partner, which is great, and want to keep it that way. yeah, man. And I feel like that's really it. It's just about understanding what you bring to the table, knowing that that's sacred and keeping that here. You know what I mean? No matter what anyone else says, no matter what anyone else tells you, no matter how many times you hear no, keep going, believe in what you got, and show and prove. You know, find ways to get your stuff out there, whether it be, you know, just kind of taking your own initiative and, you know, creating spec work in the advertising world, whether it be creating a short film, whatever it is, like funding your own film, creating your own TV shows, whatever, podcasts, like finding a way to kind of get that outlet. And then people see it. And, you know, you, like you said, you never know. Someone connects with that and then it takes you down another trajectory. And you're like, oh, I discovered this. Like this, I never thought that the company could go this way. Or I never thought that my career could go this way. But it's really about that grind and that seizing opportunities and grabbing the bull by the horns, as someone once told me, and just really being able to kind of go with the flow in a sense, man, and just know it's going to be all right. You know, take a deep breath. My grandmother would always say, you know what, when things are going rough, take a nap, go to bed. Tomorrow's another day.
There is so. A lot a nap can solve. Very often, especially in production work where you sit in front of a computer or a monitor all day long, sometimes stepping away helps a big, big, big amount. Look, Antonio Tronic McDonald, you left it all out on the field. I can't thank you enough for not only bringing us up to speed on what you've been up to, but even letting us know some cool tidbits of things you were involved with, and knowing that that's part of everyone's culture. I mean, these were globally recognized artists that Camp was a part of, and what you were doing, you know, makes me, I've been holding back saying you down with KUMP. Yeah, you know me. The entire time we've been talking, I keep trying to resist it, but I couldn't, you know, I had to make sure. I'm sorry. I had to put you through that.
You made yourself too, man. Man, you're doing back with that one, Phil. I got to tell you, man. That's fantastic. I'm going to borrow that one right there, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, the next time you're doing a training, you throw it on, you know?
You know me.
Yeah. No, man. Look, it's been a real pleasure getting to talk with you and share the news. Again, excuse me. Again, for those who want to learn more, the website, I believe you said, is KUMP.com. Is that correct?
KUMP.com. That's correct.
Right on. Yep. Again, yeah, Camp. Thank you so much. It's meant a lot for you to indulge all my odd questions, but I hope this isn't the last time we have you on either.
No, I'd love to do it again. Thanks, Phil, man. This has been great, man. I appreciate the conversation for sure, man. Blessings. Amen.
Take care.